just, this is a good look. You woke up this morning perfect. Just wake up tomorrow looking like this. Is that maybe all a guy like Samson needs? He doesn't need to be ordered around to the gram. He can see it himself. His wife can go, you look better last week. Maybe that's all he needs. Yeah. Hey, everybody. Welcome to another episode of It's Just Bodybuilding. Your host, Big Ron Parlow here. Dusty Hanshaw, the producer, Scott McNally. Like, share, subscribe, comment, and
ring the bell.
Ring the bell. And remember, IamMutant.com. Go to IamMutant.com. Get your IsoSurge. Get your all in. And everyone should get on the gear. Dusty 20, Big Ron 20, if you want to save money. Who doesn't want to save money? Who doesn't want to save money?
Are you dumb? If you're not dumb, then use the code.
Yeah. And you know why you need to save money? You know why?
Ron, why do you need to save money?
Because you can spill a coffee cup this size all over your brand new laptop and completely fry it. And then you got to go buy a new laptop.
Right? You don't want to need to spend another $2,000 on a new laptop if you haven't saved 20% on $100 protein.
Yeah, basically the laptop will pay for itself.
Yeah,
it's free,
yeah,
more or less.
I'm still very bitter about yesterday, guys. I bought a MacBook Air probably like not quite 2 years ago. Went in, bought it, you know, got the best one.
Of course.
Spent the money. And here's my little quick little take before we move into the main topic. They don't make things like they used to. I had an old MacBook and I spilt like full shakers of water on it
all the time.
Three times. And I just tipped it upside down, put a fan on it, let it dry for a whole day, fired right back up all three times. The only exception was a third time the battery was fried. I had to get a new battery for $600, but you could remove the battery and put the new one in.
Yeah.
The new MacBooks can't remove nothing. Can't open them. It's just, and it's totally fried. Like not even nothing, like it's dead. So I'm going to take it in when I get back. I leave for England in a few hours. I'm going to take it in when I get back. Mm. We'll let them tell me that it's over, right? It's not over. Well, they
you need closure. You need closure. I've heard women say this.
I need
them
to open the back and look at the mess and go, yep, she had a good life. And then
not really. You know, she didn't even make it to 2 years old.
Yeah, but that's what you say.
It's like, you know, computers nowadays are basically garbage at this point, right?
Yeah.
I buy a Mac and then I get a message from Apple telling me that I need to buy another Mac like 2 weeks later. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But we got a new one. Really upset.
I had all my passwords were all like fingerprint, you know, it was just an easy life. I had to borrow Emily's laptop today. She didn't even have Google Chrome. I had to download Chrome. I had to do the whole thing.
Okay.
Gurus. God. Whose wife is getting them ready for the Arnold, boys?
You know, we all said that there was going to be a big change in the coaching, but let's be honest. Who is harder on you than your own wife?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that's going to sugarcoat play.
No. I got a lot to say.
Yeah.
If you think back to Debbie Yates was kind of like maybe the original uncredited wife guru. You know what I mean? There are many times where Dorian said the only person that really knew what he looked like was his wife and sometimes his chiropractor. Right? Just a different age. He wasn't, you know, posted everywhere. No one, guys at the gym didn't even see him all the time.
Yeah.
Right.
And then we got Hollingshead telling us that, you know, his wife's kind of, it's just him and his wife for this show. And then Samson and Milos part ways, and now it's Samson and his wife. So is this a British bodybuilding thing?
Is it a Milos thing? Does Milos send them to their wives? Makes you wonder. We'll have to ask Jamie.
Hey, I don't know what's going on. What do you think?
Well, the first thing that I wanted to cover is now all of your years of hard work to become an Olympia coach are out the window. She did it on a weekend.
All you had to do was marry a good bodybuilder.
I got this.
Yeah.
And if he moves up one placing, she's the best guru on the planet.
Yep.
Just like that. Because one placing is pretty high at that point. Better than you've ever done, loser.
Yeah.
I might have to call his wife for Nikki after this. I mean,
yeah, it's not too late to call her now, Dusty.
Here's what it comes down to. I this is what I think. There's a lot of different types of gurus. You know what I mean? The whole guru word is, like, first of all, kind of a joke word that we use, right?
Yeah.
You know? but there's all these different types of gurus that kind of maintain all these different levels of control over their athletes.
Yes. You know?
Right. Some guys are spreadsheets. Your insulin's at 10:05. Your next meal's at 10:25. And then you take vitamin B at 11:06, and then you take this and that. Like, there's gurus out there that's how it works. And then there's gurus that are like, let's see what your pitchers look like Saturday. And they just...
I feel like you just said Chris's name.
Yeah, eat a Danish. Eat a Danish.
So, you're looking a little flat. You're looking a little flat.
Yeah. Or, you know, the old, which of your supplements do you know are real? Yeah, let's just take more of those.
Just take more
of those. Don't worry about the rest. Don't worry about the rest. Do you think that we'll start seeing pictures of Samson hitting shots with her in the background, you know?
Right.
I mean, if she's a true guru, she has to.
Hey, she might just be the one taking them, right? They might just be so old school that she's just taking the shots. You know, maybe occasionally she drops one of these in front of the lens, like, just to show that she's there, you know?
Yeah. Make sure the people know. I mean, you got to get your credit so you get more clients. Anyways.
But it makes you wonder, like, at that level, does a guy need to be told to eat a meal at 6 p.m. instead of 6:30 p.m.? Mm. Or does he just need to be told, this is a good look, keep this going?
Yeah.
Like, just, this is a good look. You woke up this morning perfect. Just wake up tomorrow looking like this. Is that maybe all a guy like Samson needs? He doesn't need to be ordered around to the gram. He can see it himself. His wife can go, you look better last week. Maybe that's all he needs.
Yeah. You know, all kidding aside, I think that's where you really run into at some point is a lot of times people overcomplicate things at the higher level. You know, I mean, think about it. You work with a bunch of local guys, and then all of a sudden, the Mr. Olympia calls up and wants you to bring him in. I think people start doing weird shit because they feel like they need to like make their mark with somebody like that. When in reality, I look at coaching top guys like being a fourth line NHL player. Like, your job is just not lose the game. You don't need to win it.
Mm, yeah.
Like, right. just don't mess it up and you'll be fine. I mean,
right. You're on a team with Connor McDavid. You're like, just don't give the puck to the other team and we're fine.
Yeah. Like, he just needs 1 minute to breathe and then you can let him go win the game again.
Yeah. I don't know. Scott, what's your take on that? Levels of guruing?
I'll be interested to see what happens. And I can just say out of my own experience that the guys who are super elite, that they're easier to coach, they're harder to mess up. But then also at that level, like, I was just looking at some of the cell phone footage I took from the Arnold, Ohio. And I remember thinking to myself while I was watching that, oh, this is definitely Hottie. Like, I see Hottie beating Samson. And I feel like I was even kind of critical of Samson because I saw those differences. I'm watching that footage back and I'm like, Jesus, these guys are both amazing. Like, the differences between first and second place are so small. So those tiny nuances, you know, I think it's easy to make Samson look great, but to get him to look his ultimate best consistently, I don't know. We'll see what happens. But here's what I think. One thing is for sure. Samson seems confident with this idea. So that means he's going to go into it relaxed, right? And if he can go into this relaxed, it's his wife. Who else in the world supports you more than your significant other? You know what I mean? So I think he's going to go into this feeling really confident and relaxed. He's going to be on home turf now, being in the UK. I think this could go, I mean, obviously could go really good for him. But with this whole setup, I think I just sense low stress. That's what I get out of this.
Yeah. What did he actually say? I know he did a couple of videos. Like, I kind of got lost in there was a few videos he put out about it. What was his final word about, you know, him and Milo's parting? Just, you know, we did our best. It's time to move on.
I didn't see the most recent video. I saw, I watched a couple reviews of it though, and that was basically the deal, that he wasn't sure where he's going to go to next for coaching, but at least for right now, he was going to lean into his wife helping him, and she's helped him in the past, and that they've been a really good team together.
She said that she helped him for like two of his previous shows or whatever. So
I think it would be very hard to come into a top coach in, you know, what, 9 days, 12 days, whatever it was. Like if he called me and said, "Hey, I want you to get me ready for the next Arnold," 12 days later, I'm like, I feel like that could only go bad for me. Like
you're just,
I don't have any data on how you got from your start point to the show.
For sure.
I don't even have visual data on, did anything go wrong? I mean, I think that's one thing, you know, I don't know, like you said, because I haven't seen why they're parting ways. But I feel like Hadi was not beatable. I don't think he missed. I thought he looked the best he'd ever looked. It sounded like he thought it was the best he ever looked. So, you know, I wouldn't want to touch that because I feel like as a coach, the only way I can go is down. Like
that said, though, know, if there wasn't anybody to do it. If I make it equal,
then cool. And so it's like it does make sense, I'm saying, to stick with your wife. She does have all that data. Yeah. And let's also keep in mind, she's not coaching him. She's helping him do this. Like, it's not like she's making all of the decisions. Ron wants me to look at that bike for some reason. look at my bike right now. So I think it's a good fit as long as they can, you know, just execute. Because this is what you run into with all clients, right? Is can you stay stress-free and just execute the plan? So we'll see. I'm excited see, and I think I might actually go to this show this time. So who knows? Unless we're at the gym.
You never know. It might. It might just be a matter of her saying, "Listen, you looked better. You looked better a week out. Like this stuff we did. Like you look better a week out. I was taking pictures every morning." And then she's just gonna say, "Yes, that's it," or "No, that's not it yet."
Yeah.
Like, right. You know, who she might, that might just be it. And he's just going to tweak things until she goes, "There it is."
Do you remember Mark Dugdale did that for the Olympia one year? They did a crap load. Sorry. Just still trying to be a little careful.
You're so good with this, Dusty. You're like a pro now.
I dropped one earlier. But, anyways, so he was just eating and eating. And then he would pose. And his wife, Christina, was like, "No, not yet." And just kept going, and then she was like, "Yeah, I think that's it." And then he annihilated. It was the best he ever looked. Now I hate that kind of loading if you haven't done it before, because they were guessing and they never got it again. But in that attempt, that was exactly what she was doing. Ron was just going, "Nah, a little more. Have some ice cream.
All right, stop. I don't know. You know, there.
Two more red vines. There we go. Two more red vines."
So sometimes that just take all the noise and the numbers, completely remove them, and just go, that's the look that I was seeing that morning that you looked amazing. That's it right there. And that's all you need, is just to know that's okay. That's the look that we were looking for. It was Tuesday morning a week out, and I'll just move that to Saturday. You know what I mean? So it could just be that simple, you know? Oh, never know. Maybe she's got spreadsheets on the fridge.
Could be that. Could be she just needs a couple bear claws, little Ron Partlow-esque.
She's a maybe bear she's claws. Maybe she's like, "You need three different lengths of insulin."
Yeah, dude, how amazing would that be? Next thing you know, it's the like most intricate.
So what did your wife
drug
do?
Cycle you've ever seen?
Yeah.
Then 5 minutes later, I took all. Then.
Plus, there's something about it. But something about them being British, like it just like takes me back to like how simple the prep could be. You know, I just think of Dorian, right? Like no one saw him.
Yeah.
No pictures posted anywhere. Like two people in the whole world knew what he looked like. You know what I mean? I mean, he didn't even send pictures to the Weeders half the time. They were paying his contract. Even know what he looked like most of the time. They had to hound him to send that one set that went viral, you know, that one set they published that were crazy.
Once his cheeks bones started coming through the skin, they were like, "It's fine."
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
It's fine.
Yeah. So I'm excited.
It's exciting. Me too. I'll tell you guys what. I hope that it slays just because that would be a great story. Like, if you absolutely nailed it, it would be awesome.
All the coaches are going to have to compete with AI and wives.
Yeah. That's, and I'll tell you guys,
your wife gets pissed off, though. Never mind.
Then seeing that video he put out when he was saying, hey, I'm going to the hospital. Andrew and I did a little reaction to that, by the way. And I know a lot of you guys saw that. Thanks for your comments and everything. Seeing that video, though, I'll be honest. I hadn't known a lot about Samson as a human being, as a person. I've known him as a guy on stage, and I've heard so many people tell me about the great interactions they've had with him. And people over the weekend too were saying, like, oh man, he made sure to sign everybody's stuff. He took his time. He talked with everyone. After seeing that video, I'm a super fan of Samson now. Seeing the way that he reacted, seeing the way that he felt, and just seeing his passion for bodybuilding. Because I could, he kind of went off about how there were some people who were talking negatively about him. And I didn't see any of that stuff, but he was like, man, this isn't what I signed up for. Like, this isn't what bodybuilding is about to me. He's like, and if this, and of course he was in a real down spot at the time. But just listening to that, I was like, yeah, man, I know exactly where he's coming from. Like, he loves the sport. He absolutely loves the sport. And it turns out he's really good at it too. I can't say that I've never been a bigger fan of, or more excited about somebody going into this next Arnold now.
Yeah, it's going to be a great show. I can't wait to get there. I leave today at 7 p.m. And it's going to be another great trip to England. So I'm excited.
I volunteered, when do you take off, by the way, for a stage appearance. I don't know if you saw that.
No,
they were like, hey, we need some people to speak on the stage at the show. And I was like, Ron and I'll do it.
What? So,
yeah, you're in.
What are you guys doing?
You know how they do the interviews at the expo?
Okay.
And I was like, Ron's asleep. He's not able to answer. So I'll take care of this. So here we go.
Oh, okay.
Just jumped right in.
Oh, that's
just
so cool.
Throw me
I
in
actually
front
wrote
of
in there. It's fine that I get to answer for Ron. We're on that husband wife level. I'm not sure which is which, but whatever.
I guess I'm speaking at the Arnold.
Listen, anybody who is watching this, if you guys are there, shoot video, send it to me, because I want to see the stuff and share it with everybody else.
Well, yeah, I was kind of hoping for an It's Just Bodybuilding 2/3 moment, because they said they were doing a couple people or one-on-one. I was like, psh, we're in. He doesn't have a choice. He's not awake to defend himself.
Do you know who's doing the interviewing?
Don't know. I was thinking I'd ask Jamie. Which take over the whole thing.
Well, it was Dino. Dino did it a couple times. Remember back when Dino?
That would be awesome if it was Dino.
Well, I mean, he just went at people. Do you remember he had Phil Heath on and he made Phil take his shirt off?
You're kidding.
Phil, caved and took his shirt off. And then Dino starts calling poses. Front double bicep. Phil's off season. Not even. He's like, so
you can't not though. Dino does that to everybody.
Dino refuses to take no for an answer.
7 weeks out from a show, I'm in the gym, covered up, and he's like, "Let me take a peek." So I show him a little in the corner. He goes, "Come here," and he calls the entire gym over.
Yes,
there's 50 people, and I'm like, "Oh, we're doing this now.
Attention, everyone. We've got a legend in the gym."
Yeah,
and he uses that word really loosely with people like me.
Yeah. No, I'm excited for it. It'll be good. Okay. Well, I guess I'm speaking.
Nice. There you go.
We'll do that. Do we have some cues? We got some questions, don't we?
Yes, we have a bunch of stuff, including one from Patreon. So the question is, has anyone ever said something to you during your bodybuilding career that lived rent-free in your brain for way too long? Like a judge or a coach or a training partner?
I think I'm pretty good at not having people live rent free in my head. I'm pretty good at that. But I do remember two things that judges said to me that I was like, really? And then I never forgot them. So maybe they didn't live in my head, but I never forgot them. The one was, I don't know, it was my seventh or eighth nationals, and I'd been second a bunch of times, right? And and I saw one of the judges backstage after the morning show. And I was very happy with how I looked. I thought I had a great chance at winning. I had guys coming up to me backstage going, this is your year. you look crazy. This is the best you've looked. That sort of thing. I had people saying that to me. So I was very confident. I was like, okay, it's going to be a great show. And I honestly thought I had prejudging. They put me in the middle for a while. They moved me out. They moved me back. So I was like, I think I got prejudging. Like, I was pretty confident. And I walked past this one judge and he goes, hey, you look amazing today. And I go, thanks. He goes, just not quite enough. And he walked away. And I was like,
not quite good enough, Ron.
And I was like, oh, so is that just him talking? Like, is it just his score sheet, right? Like, that's only one judge, right? So there's seven judges. So I'm still like, shit. But I got second that night by 1 point.
To his client.
And no. It wasn't. No, it wasn't. But I got second that night. And I just remember, like, I remember thinking that judge was such an unprofessional idiot. For saying that to me. Like, I was really, I wasn't mad at him for putting me second. I wasn't mad that I lost. I was mad that he like ruined my, like he said that to me. Like, you don't say that to a competitor at that level after the morning show.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Like, what are you doing? Like, who the hell do you think you are? You don't even know the other scores. You just know your score. Like, why would you do that? I can't imagine a judge at that level thinking that it's okay, especially like it's one thing if a guy is like 15th and, you know, he says, oh, man, I'm just glad to be here. And you go, yeah, man, you just need to improve. You know, that's different. But like I'd been in front of this guy six times at that point and he knew what was going on. He knew what it's like, you know, you're there to turn pro and it's very competitive. And I just couldn't believe he said that to me. I was just like, such a dick. Like, you're such, not even a dick. You're an idiot. You're an idiot because that, you just don't, you don't say that to someone at that level. Like, I can't imagine doing that. And I just, I thought that I lost respect for that guy. I never respected him again as a judge. I always told people that guy's fucking moron. I said that all the time. And then eventually he disappeared.
Okay, yeah. I was going to ask what happened to him.
Yeah,
but you can't say that. Don't say what happened, Ron. Just that he's.
And then, and then there was one more, one more thing.
Sorry, I just got to keep it safe. This is going out publicly.
Don't worry about it. He's taken care of.
Yeah. He's not around anymore. There was one more thing. I remember I'd done like 10 nationals at this point because I did way too many. I did 13. And I think it was like near the end. And I'd already won my class and I'd been really close to turning pro a couple of times. And it was starting to get to me, you know. And I went to another show. It was like a national figure show or something. And the same judges were there, right? This is the old school judges. And the head judge was like, oh, hey, Ron, good to see you. And I'm like, good. Hey, good to see you too. And she goes, oh, yeah, you know, you had a really tough second at your last show there. That was very close. And because I had a couple that were 1 point, right? So I was like, yeah, that was a tough one. And she's like, but you know what? We're so happy to see you back. We never want you to leave. You're just, it's so great to have you in that class. I mean, you just embody the super heavies and we never want you to leave. It's just so great to have you back.
Yeah.
And I just remember thinking like, didn't know what you sound like an absolute moron right now. Like, I think you're an idiot. Like, you know what I mean? I just,
again, this is the greatest question ever. I love this, Patreon.
Me too. This is better than I thought it was going to be.
I don't care anymore.
Just people with no awareness of who they're talking to or what they're saying or what's coming out of their mouth. It just, I don't know. I just, people.
Okay. Ron, it's funny because like Ron is still heated about his, but I'm thankful for the two occasions. Okay. And one was prior to my actual bodybuilding, but I was training and I was trying to get big, you know, and my wife at the time and I, we went to Vegas to see her grandparents and I hadn't seen them in a while. And I had also kind of been busy. Maybe I wasn't eating quite as much as I'm supposed to. And I walked in the door and grandma looked at me and goes, oh my God, did you get sick? You look so small. I mean, I was like on the streets of Vegas looking for tests. I was eating everything in sight that day. I mean, you want to talk about something that stuck with me? Because the thing is grandparents are like children. They don't lie. She wasn't being mean. I just looked terrible, small, and sick. And it all just came out as soon as I opened the door. Yeah. So yeah, that was the first one, and it's funny, but I actually just told a friend about that yesterday, coincidentally, because I don't think I could ever miss a meal after that. That was a painful one. You know, you ever get like sick, and I'm like, this food has to go back down. Ugh. Grandma's gonna abuse me. So there was that one, but then during my career, the only thing didn't live rent free, but definitely changed my view of the importance of something was. I can't remember the year. It's been too many years, but I want to say 13 USAs. One of the judges, after prejudging, looked me dead in the face and said, "Your tan cost you." Mm. And that one hurt because you do everything and you nail it. And he was like, "Yeah, your tan cost you. I know what you look like, but we can't see it."
Mm.
And it was bad. And so, yeah, that's why this is my little plug for Liquid Sunrays, everyone, because that after that, I literally used Liquid Sunrays for everything. And my tan was always perfect. And I looked like muddy on stage and I was always disciplined. I got tanned before the show, like my skin itself did all the things, did the skin preps, all that.
Yeah.
But yeah, the bad tan. And he didn't say I was going to win or anything, but he did say it cost me. And that's just one of those deals where, you know, if you do a prep and you put all the work in and you're like, wow, the one thing. It'd be like somebody saying, yeah, your suit cost you. Like you made a bad choice.
Yeah.
The dumbest thing there is after all your work. So that was a brutal one that I remind clients now all the time. I'm like, let me see your tan. Let me see your tan. Because very often at the local level, they don't put enough on them. I'm like, give the guy more money. Get it darker. We're not done.
Right. I can very much relate to that. My first show, the 97 Northerns, I won the heavyweights. And then I didn't win the overall. And everyone was like, how did you not win that? Because this little middleweight won it. And like a bunch of people in the crowd were like, "That you should have won that." I was like a 230-pound heavyweight at like a regional show. And so I went to the judges and I was like, hey, like real happy with everything. I was happy because I had no idea what was going to happen. Like I thought there might be 20 heavyweights show up. Right. So I was happy I won the heavies. But
yeah,
I was just like, hey, what do I got to do to win the overall? And the judges looked right at me. He goes, oh, yeah, you're tan. We couldn't give it to you. You're way too light.
Mm.
That guy had great color. So everything showed like it just you're way bigger than him, but you just didn't have enough tan on.
Dang.
And so I was obsessed. So for like the rest of my career, I was obsessed. I put on like 8 bottles of Pro-Tan every show and just like bathe in it and just like, and then the sprays came out and everything and we were all good to go. But yeah, I was that sucked. I remember thinking like, oh God, you know, I thought it was dark enough, right?
It wasn't anything. I always tell my clients, you should look ridiculous in person. The tans look stupid.
I thought I did.
You're
like
not
I looked
dark enough.
You know, I backstage, I look the same color as everyone, but you know, you learn those lessons about how when you're really white and you get under the bright lights, you need more tan. Backstage, everyone looks the same color, but on the stage, it's not like that. You know, you got to be dark. So
that albino comes through.
Yeah.
I just thought of a good, I thought of a good follow-up question. So I'm going to save that one about tanning. I can think of one was my first contest and I was in that position where it's like, I didn't really know a ton about what I was doing. It's the first time I've ever done this. I'm just happy to be there kind of thing. And then I took second place in middleweight out of like 6 or 7 guys. My mind was freaking blown that I could actually beat not only one person, but several people in my class, you know, and then I could actually get all the way up to the point where there was only one guy that beat me. And I thought, in my opinion, he looked really good. Right. So I made a post after that on Facebook because we're all using Facebook. Then is like early days of Facebook. And I was like, you know, I did my first bodybuilding show and here's the pictures. And I posted up pictures of the other guys. And I said, I missed I almost won. Only one guy beat me. Like basically saying like I could have almost won this thing. It blows my mind. And the guy who won the overall, he turned out to be like a real dick. All right. He messages me and he goes, you didn't almost win. That guy was so much better than you. He annihilated you. He looked better because of this and because of that and because of the, like, he thought maybe the way he read it, like I was saying, like, you know, it was a close battle and I should have beat this guy, kind of, you know, I don't know if he read it that way, but he just dressed me down, as they would say. And I was like, oh, and I tried to be like, oh man, I'm writing back to him. Like, I didn't mean it like that. And, blah, blah, you know, and all of this. And then guess what? The scorecards come out. And back then you would actually see the actual scores. Guess what? I missed first place by 1 point, Dan. 1 point, Dan.
Dan.
Yeah, Dan.
He remembers his name, Dan Snyder.
I can't remember his last name, or I'd call him out. I'd call him out right now. I could look him up on Facebook.
Right, right. Just to block him. That's funny, man.
Share him the
link. So you didn't even know it was 1 point.
No,
you didn't even know.
Man. He was happy to be in second, but the guy decided to annihilate him for nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that was
1 point, Dan. Yeah.
And I was like, man, I like, it really bothered me. It left a bad taste in my mouth about competing, because like I just was having fun. You know what I mean? So it was cool though. So here's my follow-up question. I want to hear, so like when we're in the bodybuilding world, right, and you put your tan on, everybody around you is tan. It's normal practice. Let me tell you something. You go out into the public and you've got that tan on, that's a completely different story. Do you guys have any stories of being out in the real world with your contest tan on and having anybody, because I can think of a couple of funny times, people looking at you weird or just wondering what the heck you're doing. Like, maybe they don't realize, that guy, does he know what he did? He put on too much spray tan.
I had a line that I said a couple times and it got a laugh, because sometimes I think we assume that people kind of know what you did. Like, because, you know, it's different if maybe for someone who doesn't look as obviously a bodybuilder, like maybe a figure competitor wearing her sweatsuit.
Yeah.
People might just think that girl's got this gook all over. But obviously when you're like 270 pounds with veins in your arms and you're standing in Safeway, people put together that you're a bodybuilder most of the time. Mm-hmm. And I had this joke where people, you know, if I saw them kind of looking at me, you know, the week after the show, your hands are kind of all spotty and splotchy and it's wearing off your elbows. And so I would try to stay covered mostly, but maybe you got a great pump. So you go into the grocery store with the sleeves out. Right. And I'd notice somebody like kind of staring at my hand, or the teller maybe kind of looking at you, and I would crack a joke. I'd say, oh, it's okay, I just have a horrible skin disease. And I said it a couple times and I got like a laugh. Like, I remember one time I said it to the cashier and she laughed and she goes, oh, did you just do a bodybuilding show? And I said, yeah. So like, I sort of got a little bit comfortable with that joke.
Yeah.
And then, one time I said, don't worry, I just have a horrible skin disease. And the dread, like the teller became paralyzed with fear. Like, she completely shut down. She actually went like this and she just started like moving my items very like, and I realized, oh, she just like, she's not even talking to me now. Like, it's, she's just beep, 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 beep as fast as she possibly can.
Immediately, which it's usually not contagious on food items.
Yeah.
Typically. Yeah.
Just little things like that, you know, you gotta have a bit of fun with it, but sometimes it backfires and you just sound like an idiot.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not afraid of those moments though, if you haven't noticed.
I don't think that backfired at all. Your story isn't that funny until you get to that moment.
Yeah.
Then
the
story takes off.
Yeah. And then I was like, do I keep explaining or do I just let it hang there? Like, no, you know,
just leave it. Thank her and shake her hand.
Yeah, thank you very much.
There you go. Sneeze. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wipe your elbow across the counter and then walk out.
Yeah.
That's good
stuff.
Know,
yes. You know,
it's, I think we're life. More or less named the only way it goes, which is just the visual.
Have you ever had, here's a question for you. I sort of thought of it with Scott's question, but have you ever had like someone come up to you and say, hey, you know, you're, you know, so-and-so told me you were a terrible person, but you know, you're a good guy. You know that old joke? But have you ever had that happen to you?
Not real, like real life, no.
I had it happen once. I'm not going to say his name, but he's still known. And he said to me once, like about a year after we competed together, I was talking to him at another show and we're just chatting away. And then he's like, "Hey man, you know, you're a good dude. I heard you were a good dude, but you know, my last coach, he told me all this stuff about you. And like,
kidding.
when we competed against each other, I hated you. I wow. thought you were just like, I thought you were this other person, and he had told me all this stuff. And I think he just told me to like motivate me to try to beat you. But like it was like this and this, and he just told me all this stuff his old coach said about me. And I was like, wow, like just crazy. Like I'd hardly even known his old coach. Like we'd spoken like 10 words.
Yeah.
He lived on the other side of the country. Like we didn't even know the same people. And this guy told him like, "Oh yeah, Ron, like this and that and blah, blah, blah." And told him like made shit up. And I was like, oh, he must've been trying to like psychologically rocky you to hate me.
Yeah.
You know,
that's so weird.
But then that coach like left and didn't like correct it or anything, just left it. And like the guy just thought that until he got to know me.
Huh.
It was just funny to me.
And I was just like, wow. Gone now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of people disappear in Canada.
Canada's cold. Lots of barren land.
People, a lot of land and not a lot of bears. Just moose,
a lot of rivers, a lot of lakes.
Yeah.
You know,
mountains. They have all the terrains, really.
Yeah, technically, probably the easiest country in the world to get rid of somebody in.
No, for someone to get lost.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just remember, don't pull a Craig Titus. Fire draws people. Anyways. I still don't understand that.
I remember, yeah, exactly. I just thought, I remember afterwards that like, I was like, wow, I wonder what else is like, you know what I mean? Cause it doesn't occur to you what other people say about you to other people is not on my mind. Like I don't live like that. Like I don't think about what other people say to other people about me. That's just too removed to even give a remote care about, you know? So that was just funny to me that he said that. He's like, yeah,
I just think it's really funny because it doesn't work in bodybuilding.
Yeah, like it's like a weird thing.
If you're playing
thing,
hockey, I could get it. Like you're gonna go ahead, or if you're fighting, or like,
and then like in football, you do it yourself. You yell at the guy across the line, like, "I'm banging your sister after the game, buddy. I'm banging her."
And you try to.
And then you do, you know?
Sometimes you send him pictures. Anyways, wait. Too young. Anyway.
Not when you're 17, Dusty.
But yeah, that's, I would now if I had a cell phone. Anyways, but back to what we were talking about. It was a tough time back then. You had to bring a whole camera. Anyways.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let's not make this weird, lady.
That's odd to me.
There's parts of this getting edited. There's no question. Yeah.
the bot will not understand the context.
No. There's no context.
This bot has no idea who Mrs. Robinson is anyways.
There we go.
Oh, now that we've derailed the show.
Dusty, do you have any tanning stories? Any funny situations where you were tanned up and people didn't know what the hell was going on?
Honestly, not much more than what Ron said, because it's all for everyone. It's the same thing, which is when the tan starts to come off.
Yeah.
But I really do think for the most part, it's in the competitor's head more than people looking. Like, I don't have to know bodybuilding to know that, oh, that person had a fake tan on, it's coming off. Even if it's too dark, it doesn't matter. And I think as a bodybuilder, to be honest, Scott, you know this, but you reach a point where, and Ron, I think you could attest to this. When I first started getting big, I really noticed people looking at me. I'd walk into a restaurant, I could feel like people look.
Yeah.
And then after you've been big for a long time, you don't even see it anymore. And so I wouldn't even notice if someone was looking at me funny about the tan or the fact that I dress weird or whatever it would be. I just don't care anymore. I don't know if I got old or just used to being big, but you know, you really do stop noticing. You guys will love this. We're a side note here, but to show how much people think other people are watching them, I'm getting on this small cable machine today, and this guy is across from me. He goes, "Sorry for the view." And I said,
"You're like, I didn't even know you exist."
I go, what view? He goes, well, we're doing this machine right here. And his wife goes, well, I'm not sorry. You're welcome. And I'm like, what are we talking about? They're like, they were doing a lying leg curl. I'm like, what? No one's looking at you.
Maybe there was an invite involved there.
Like there was very.
I don't know.
Nick and I were both dusty.
There, but I was just like, that's what was going on. Engagement.
If there were swinging, then I'm going to need his wife to stop with the granny panties. It drives me crazy under tights. Ladies, thong or nothing. Suck it up.
I have rules.
Hey, did there you are see already the latest, underwear, basically.
The latest CDC release, they've What's said that this summer you don't have to wear panties with your sundress. Just so all the ladies
I
did, know.
I saw that last summer. Anyways, I get it sent directly to my email. Okay. But anyhow.
Important. Latest yes. CDC.
I had one where I literally stopped the entire grocery store. Now, it was a small grocery store, and it was like, I think I had tanned. I think it was, I can't remember what it was, but I must have been competing from the house.
And you I went up your to pants.
No. And I wasn't wearing a sundress either. But I had my tan on and I went into the grocery store, and it's like the little local grocery store, Foodland. And I thought it's going to be no big deal. I think I was wearing like one of the, like a sleeveless t-shirt, like Ron wears to the expos. And I swear to God that every person at every till stopped what they were doing. Every person in the line stopped what they were doing. You could hear a silence fall over the grocery store as they all turned and looked at me. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. Not even a whisper. Yeah.
That's you're you in the right neighborhood.
Drop the skin disease line.
Right, I got a skin disease. Yeah. Terrible skin disease.
Right to the front of the line. There's no waiting for the skin disease guy.
No, I had the full on tan. I think they just thought like I didn't know, like I did, you know, made a mistake.
Oh, that's blackface. That's why.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
right. Frown bone.
You're gonna get.
Yeah, that's troublesome where you're from.
The tanning stuff isn't a big deal anymore to me because I did tanning back in the 90s when it was really weird. So now, like you know, I had those weird engagements back then when it was like, what is, like, people had never even seen it before. Like, you were the first person they ever saw. But now it's a little bit more, you know, people sort of get it, I think.
Yeah, like my grandma competes. You're like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. We had a few more. What about this one? Now, Jeremy posted this up in the Think Big Facebook group today. And I said, hey, this would be a good one to bring to the guys, see what they have to say. He says, what is your strategy around illness during a bulk? Not normally a sick person, but caught some type of a bug the last few days. Couldn't eat the first day. Chicken and rice weren't palatable the next two. Stuck to oatmeal, eggs, egg whites, and protein shakes. Made it outside for a walk to get some fresh air and to raise the heart rate. Do you guys train when you're sick or just keep the muscles active with a pump? Or do you not do any type of workout and cardio? Do you just lay in bed and sleep to recover ASAP? Do you consume whatever calories you can get in within reason to prevent rapid weight loss? Water fast, he says, ? Would love to hear what you guys think on this common but not talked about topic.
That was a lot of information.
Way more thought than I ever put into being sick. Way more thought.
I was having the same thing. Like,
let me tell you that this is, hey, and it's a fair question too. It's fair question. Yeah. But I think this is indicative of what we see with a lot of people just overthinking everything, like overthinking everything just crazily. If I'm a little bit sick from the neck up, I take some ephedrine and I go train. If I'm sick from the neck down, like any sort of achiness or any of that, like, you know what I mean? Where the body, like, a, you know, when you feel like, oh, I've got something. Yeah, or fever or anything like that, then I don't go to the gym at all and I just rest. And as far as food, the most thought I would have ever put into it is, I need some calories. Maybe I should have some pizza if I haven't eaten all day, or maybe I should make whatever I can eat, or I'll put this meal together and I'll have some toast with it. And I'll, like, it wasn't like there was no thinking of that sort of thing. It's what can I eat? Have I eaten? How much, like, do I need calories? I think the number one thing I would think of is just pushing water through your body and just trying to like hydrate and take your vitamins and you know what I mean? But never put much thought into any of that other stuff. It's just, oh, I can't train today. So I'm just going to get some sleep and stay home. And then you just flip a switch and make it the bright side. Go like, oh, well, it's a movie day. I'm going to watch a movie today instead of train, get a movie in, you know, or something like that. You just move on.
Yeah. I think what happens is, and this is in all directions, people overestimate what can happen in a couple of days and underestimate what happens in a year. Like, I don't care about a few days being sick. Like, I wouldn't even, I tell my clients if they're in the off season, get better. That's it. I don't care what you eat. I don't care if you don't eat. I do say hydrate. You nailed that one, Ron. Like, the hydration is key. I do not want you attempting to do anything. You don't need your heart rate up. If you want to sit outside because you want fresh air, fine. But like,
yeah,
nothing about for a muscle. It's all about getting, you know, what's the quickest way to get better?
Yeah.
You know, and the moment that you can eat a pizza or you can have a cheeseburger, good news. We're getting close to better because you won't want to eat those either when you're really sick. So yeah, don't overthink that at all. It's, you know, it's very important to understand what actually takes place to lose size or to gain fat. You know, I had a client the other day, he sent his check in and he's up a pound and a half in last week and his diet was perfect. I'm like, we understand that gaining fat on a perfect week is impossible.
Yeah.
You know, you're in a deficit. So same thing, like you're going to lose some weight. You did not lose any muscle tissue when you were sick for 4 days. So don't worry about it.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Simple. Yeah. Just don't sweat the small stuff. You know what I mean? And also keep in mind that even though you're sick, you're still recovering from your last workout.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you still got that going on. It's not like your bodybuilding has halted just because you're sick. You still did legs 3 days ago, and then you did shoulders the day after that. And then you did arms yesterday, and now you're sick today. So you're still growing. Just rest, you know, try to get some food in, you know, that's all.
If I were to try to add anything to it, I'd go down that hydration road you guys both noted. And I would say careful when you get back into the gym, because I think it can take a little while to get that hydration back up. And a lot of times, like after I've been sick, I get back in the gym and I feel like I'm not quite as strong as I was before I got sick. And that's not like that I got weaker. It's probably that my hydration is still a little bit off. So I always tell people to just think about that. And you're probably not going to try to set a PR, you know, the second you get back in the gym. Kind of feel things out, make sure that you're still feeling good, you know. And then work into it.
Instead of doing 4.5 plates on this machine, you maybe just do 4 plates on this machine and just crank out 15 instead of 12 or whatever. Just get in and train. You know, if people been really sick, like, you know, where they're wiped out for days and they lose 10 pounds and all that stuff, I tell them it'll take one round of each muscle group for you to really just fill back out. So your scale weight will come back up. Just do your thing, you know, no panicking, you know.
Okay. If now these are, we got a few here that are courtesy of Tommy Styles. Tommy gave us some questions when we were at the Arnold in case we needed to come up with some topics, which we didn't need, but we're going to use them now because the last week has been basically just an epilogue. Is that a good word to use? Epilogue? I don't even know what epilogue, the definition of epilogue is.
That was awesome either way.
What's the definition of the word epilogue, Ron?
Not sure what the definition is, but you know what it reminds me of?
What's that?
There used to be shows in like the 70s and 80s. It'd be like, do you remember this detective show, The Streets of San Francisco?
Yes.
Do you remember that show? And they would actually put like Act 1 on the screen.
Yeah.
And then they'd come back from a commercial and they would say Act 2, right? And it'd be like they're investigating the crime. And then Act 3 would be like when they solve the crime. And then they'd come back from a commercial and it would say Epilogue.
This is fair. I just read the actual definition.
Yeah. What is it?
Scott, you slayed it.
Did I?
It's a section or speech at the end of a book or play that serves as a comment or a conclusion to what has happened.
Oh, no, I messed it up because I was going to say that our entire last week of podcasting was an epilogue of shows, which would have been improper then.
Right.
It was a saga. It was a saga, right? That's maybe a saga. Yeah. So we didn't take any.
Because we didn't conclude anything.
No, yeah. We never do.
There was no lesson. There was no moral lesson. No. Like,
see, boys, let's make sure that we ignore at least one of Tommy's questions. Do the questions crime, too.
You gotta do the time.
Yeah,
right.
It's easy to disappear in Canada.
Yeah. Roll the clip. Okay.
So that said, guys, we need questions for the next show. And until then, we've got some stuff that Tommy gave us. These are killer. Thank you, Tommy. He says, how about this one? If you weren't a bodybuilding coach, what would you be doing?
Instead of coaching?
Yeah. Yes. And I guess that would go along with like just bodybuilding in general. I'm thinking.
Pulling all things bodybuilding out. Yes.
Pulling all things bodybuilding out, I would probably have the time and the drive to run another business of some kind. I would probably look at having another business on the side. Another, I don't know. I never thought. I always looked at bodybuilding coaching as something I would eventually stop doing. Like,
right.
I just sort of always assumed that I would eventually I'd be like, okay, I'm just going to step out of this arena at some point. But I don't know what I'd be doing if I wasn't coaching. I don't know if I don't think I'd want to judge. I don't think any of that stuff. Maybe promoting another show. I know we do the one show and I do it with like a really good team of people. But yeah, and there's nothing else in the bodybuilding bubble that really like calls my name. I don't see myself moving into any other avenue, of bodybuilding. Competing and coaching, those are the only two things that ever really interested me.
The fantasy career for me would be doing commentating for hockey. That would be so much fun.
No kidding.
Oh.
That's great. Such a good thing. And I got to tell you, I'm a judgmental prick when I'm watching. Well, I'm a judgmental prick in general. But when I'm watching hockey, I really am. Huh. If they're crappy, I'm like, this guy sucks. He just.
Right. Look how lazy he is on the boards.
I'm talking about the commentator. I judge them. I'm like, yammering along about nothing that doesn't matter. Now there's been five possession changes and he hasn't spoken of them. Because he thinks he's funny. I'm like, no. Focus.
Right.
Focus. Right. But yeah, that would be like the fantasy opportunity would be that. But truthfully, I would definitely just own another business. And especially down here, a lot of opportunity in the South for businesses that are pretty saturated in busier places. So that's kind of exciting for sure. But I would definitely still be in some form. Like everything goes back to passion for me. So it would be another thing I'm passionate about, and it doesn't necessarily have to equate to a ton of money because I'm not actually money motivated. I've covered this before. Like I want to do things because I want to do them. And if they happen to make good money, that's great. But if they don't, if I love it enough, I don't care.
Right.
I have a pretty low key lifestyle, honestly, other than a couple toys, like, and those things, if I didn't have them, I wouldn't care. If I didn't have my motorcycles, trucks, I wouldn't care. It's fine.
Right. Yeah. So I have talked to Emily a few times and I've thrown the idea around. I think I mentioned it to both you guys at some point, but I've thought about like, I wonder what sort of music podcast I could do. Like I've thought of that because I watch music podcasts. Like I watch guys that have shows like ours, but they're music and they have guests on, they might do an episode where it's just them talking about guitars. And then the next episode he's got the guitar player from Iron Maiden on.
Yeah.
And they're talking and the guy just happens to be in town because they're doing some recording and he stops by the studio and they do an interview. Of course, the guy's got a million followers so he can get those type of people.
Right.
But I'm just like, well, we do that with bodybuilding. We've had Jay Cutler on. We've had the top guys on.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's like that type of equivalent of in the different industry. And I'm like, man, I would love, I would. And sometimes I watch interviews with musicians and I'm like, oh, that was pretty good. But I would have done I could have done a way better job. I would have asked them way more interesting questions. Like that happens to me all the time. I'm like, I would love to interview that guy.
I feel like Ron should also review concerts because he'll tell me about going to a concert of a band I don't care about. And then I want to go.
Yeah, I know.
I'm like, I want to see that band. Like, who? I don't know anything about them. But like,
right?
Because Ron is a storyteller. Like, sometimes I want Ron to watch my life just so he can tell people about it, so it sounds cooler.
Don't worry, I tell people how interesting it is to hang out with you.
See, and they think I'm cooler than I am because of the way he tells the story, which is right. Phenomenal.
And then they meet you, and you're like, "We're a real letdown."
Yeah, that's not at all Ron's story. So Ron is just a liar and embellisher. Ron said you were
fun.
Yeah, I know. No, I think you should do that anyways, though, because it would be super interesting to see your takes. Because I do, like, I enjoy following a lot of, like, things I don't know about. As long as someone's passionate about it and they have great detail and stuff, it's like a good storyteller, you know? Like, I'll send Ron stuff on, like, the other day I sent you that guitar collection. I just want to know, like, is this as good as it looks to a guy who doesn't know anything?
Right.
And Ron
right.
will just give, a brief review, and I'm like, oh, sweet.
So that's something that I think is it's how you get your audience, and there's different levels of it. I mean, if you do it with bodybuilding podcasts, it's the same. In music podcasts, there's all these different levels. There's certain guys where if you watch their interviews are just by nature geared towards very deep people that are already that deep. Like, they're talking, like, you watch one guy and he might interview a famous musician, and they're talking about, like, different scale modes of like structure of songwriting. And the average music fan is like, I don't know what any of this stuff is. They're literally talking about music theory, and it's nothing to do with, I wanted to, you know what I mean? Yeah. But it's like, it's intricate. And the people that are into that are like, oh man, this is the best interview ever.
Yeah. Right.
But I've watched a couple guys where I'm like, oh, I'd be great at this because I'd be asking questions that, like, guys like us that are in, like, maybe, you know what I mean? Like, be more like, hey, like back in the 80s when you guys started and you're on the bus, you know,
two girls at one time.
Yeah. Two girls at one time and there's no cup. What do you do when there's no cup? You know? And just like, you know what I mean? Like, I think, like, it would be a different gear. And I think, like, I would really enjoy watching the type of podcast that I would do.
Yeah,
in that space. So that would just be something that would interest me. But, you know, thought about
now. We just need Ron to do that now. This is happening now, Scott.
Right,
you have work to right. do.
Hey, I can show you how, or I'll just sit in the background like the old episodes, Ron. I'll do it for you.
Yeah,
I'm over here like doing my check-ins. Ron's doing his podcast. All right, Ron, I'll see you next week.
See, I love
you
know, it.
You don't have to edit because I don't care. You just like press record. Yeah, yeah.
Put anything you want in there. That's great.
Okay, well, I'm putting that out there. So that's an
there
idea
it is. I've already approved it.
You know what I really enjoy doing, and I could see myself doing, is dog training.
Yes.
Yeah.
When I got my Rottweiler when I was younger, I put in a bunch of research into, first of all, what breed I wanted. And then I narrowed it down. I got a Rottweiler. And then I put in a bunch of research in how to train dogs. And I started reading about, like, the pack mentality and how wolves operate, and then how to operate. And it just kept going a level deeper and a level deeper. And I found that I'm really good at training dogs. Like, it's just a natural thing that I'm good at doing and reading. I'm good at reading dogs too. I think have a lot of fun being a dog trainer, honestly, if it was nothing to do with bodybuilding at all.
Yeah.
More people need to train their dogs, by the way.
Yeah. Yeah. I've talked to Emily a lot about our future. And in fact, we just had every Sunday, Emily and I have a little business meeting. Just, you know,
I love that.
You know what I mean? Every Sunday, we just like, how's things going? Like, what's new this week? Like, that sort of thing, kind of try to cover that sort of stuff. And we were talking last night about, like, where we see ourselves in 10 years. And, I would really like to see us in a position where she's not working as much. She can spend more time, like, volunteering with dog rescues, and we can get involved with that sort of thing. And maybe we're in a position where we can, you know, be helpful to them. And, you know, maybe we can be part of the, you know, part of the funding or part of the helping them raise money, and just like being active and taking part with that sort of thing. And that's something that we really are interested in the future, you know, regardless of whether they're, you know, there's no, I don't think anyone gets rich off rescuing dogs, right? It's just something that
you lose
a real passion for. Yeah, you lose everything. Yeah, yeah. But there's just like, it's something that we, you know, like
what do you want to do with your time when you get a little older and you have a little more extra time, you know, when you cut back on your work and, you know, that sort of thing. So, but there's just the dog rescue thing is very, very attractive to us because it seems like it would be very rewarding.
That's the word I was thinking of, rewarding. I'm sure that it would be.
Yeah.
Can we finish this on a bodybuilding tip, guys? I've got one more from Tommy. All right. So what is, and we're going to go Tommy Styles. Tommy Styles is kind of a dark guy sometimes. If you've ever seen him train.
Right? He's great for questions. He's great for questions.
Here's a dark one. Okay. Tommy's going dark here. What is your death row training session? And what is your death row meal following that session?
Damn, it got real quiet.
You guys notice it got real
quiet.
I don't really feel like
I don't really feel like training right now.
Well,
so here's the thing though. Like,
if I'm gonna die in 5 hours, I don't really work out. I just want to like watch a great movie or something.
If I don't train, can I get some more hours? Can I train?
I'm thinking. Okay, how am I being executed? It's important. I need to know how am I being executed.
All right, you're gonna do. You're doing firing squad.
What state am I in?
You're doing firing squad.
Okay,
bullets.
I'm doing chest and arms. I'm getting a great pump, and I'm gonna go out looking good in a front double. Yeah. Max pump. Big pec and arm pump. That's it. I'm not going to be like, oh, I need to dig deep on a leg workout one more time. No, I don't. Chest and arms. Crazy pump. You know? Yeah, oh, that's it. Man. I want to look great. If they got to do lethal injection, they don't even need the band. They're just going straight
There's
in.
There's so many veins. Yeah.
They just put it. I just say put it anywhere. It doesn't even matter. You don't even need to look.
Put it in here. Right?
I got a sick pump. I'm thinking, you know? I'm thinking of Sam Sulek and, you know, like, actually, this is sick. This is sick. Okay, I'm ready to go. You know?
Oh, let's see. That's very valid. I think, I'm definitely not doing calves because I haven't done them the rest of my life. Why start now? No, I would want to be transported because I would need to recreate a Dino's workout with Ron. And just like my wedding, I wouldn't tell Ron that they were about to put me down. We would just meet for a workout.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Have a nasty one. And then as we leave, you know, kind of like what I did to Tommy when I moved, I'd say, hey, I'm going to die at some point. And you go, oh, when? I'd be like, in 2 hours.
Today. Yeah.
You know, leave it out like that. And, you know, I would have, of course, my go-to, which would just be a nice filet or a, you know, something of that level with some Kraft dinner. Good to go. That's all I need.
Steak and mac. That's what he's having for sure.
So I'm going out with steak and mac on a square plate, obviously.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't, it would be the last meal would be like, you know, I'd have a bit of pizza and I'd have some steak and fries and I'd have some ice cream.
He's going all about it.
Yeah. A little bit of everything. Yeah. No sandwiches. Yeah. What sandwich would you pick?
Yeah.
y'all love sandwiches.
I'm straight to Jersey Mike's.
I'm just going to die hungry. I'm not even taking part.
The way he's dying, but death by sandwiches with mayonnaise.
Yeah. No meal for me. I'm fine. Nope, that's okay.
I wasn't that hungry.
I'm dying anyways. What's the point?
Yeah, exactly.
Wow, that's what I think. Terrible.
Yeah, that's terrible. Is that it? That's it. We're gonna let Tommy off the hook after that one.
Yes, that was good. And you guys are gonna see him shortly because he's gonna be at the mutant booth, and he was going out there anyway. You started telling me about that a little bit, Dusty, when we were driving over to train. He's gonna be in the UK anyway, huh?
Yeah, he's going tomorrow, and then he is gonna come hang out with us, work the booth.
Hell yeah!
Head to Dino's. He's going to get the full experience. And I'm nervous that Tommy may not go home because UK bodybuilding is literally made for him.
Yeah.
I think it's very good that his dog will be at home because it will force him to go back home.
Ah.
Because if not, I don't know. That might just be the end. He just leaves it. I mean, his clients are all online. He don't care.
Right.
So how did I miss all this? How did I not know Tommy was coming to the UK?
Because I don't tell you anything. I just do things, and then I tell you right before.
Okay.
Yeah. No, he messaged me. He said, hey, I'm going to be in the UK. Do you think Mutant would want me to work the booth? And so I reached out to George, and George was like, of course. And Tommy, this is, you know, note for those who actually want to get in the game. He said he didn't need to, he didn't even need his room covered. He's like, I just want to work the booth to show that I can bring value. Of course, that's not happening and Mutant's doing their thing. But I do think people need to see that is how he made it in life, in the bodybuilding world, in the coaching world, and everything he's done, and it's continued on. So I think that's an important thing for people to realize, because I get people all the time that will ask, like, oh, how can I help? And you're like, oh, well, we're doing this and it sucks. And they're like, oh, yeah, I just wanted to, like, train with you guys. You know what
I mean? Like, yeah, right.
So, right. You know, it is important that people do know that side of it, because that, you know, he essentially created an opportunity to showcase what he can do by asking. You know,
that's cool. Yeah, I saw a great video the other day. It was a guy giving a speech on, like, business. And he said, I'll tell you about my first account. They paid me, I can't remember exactly what he did. It was unimportant. He said, they paid me $4,000 they paid me $4,000 to do this project for them. And it cost me $4,800 to do the project.
Right.
Now, what would you think if I presented you with that opportunity? Most people would be like, that's a terrible business idea.
Yeah.
But this was my first major project with a giant company that was giving me a chance, and I knocked it out of the park, and they loved me.
Yeah.
Because business is about people. They invested in me. They liked me. Yep. The next time they needed something, they came to me and said, how much is this going to cost? And I said, $6,500. And they said, fair enough. Your last project was awesome. And now I'm $2,000 in the black. And then they come to me for the next project. And I say, well, I'm going to need another person for that one. I'm going to need to get somebody to help me. I'm going to have to contract someone to build this out. And they said, let us know. And I charge them $12,000. And I put $4,000 in my pocket. And then here I am 5 years later. I've done 100 projects for that company. Yep. And they've been my biggest account, and they have they've sent all these other accounts to me. My business is booming. The best decision I ever made. But the first time they called me, I lost $800. And he's like, people don't really think about that stuff. They just look at the number right off the bat. But building relationships, showing your worth, showing what you can do, showing that you love the work, that you really want to produce something great. Or be great at what you're doing. That once people know that you can be depended on, once people know that you can be invested in, it's not about your company you work for or or company you own. It's that you can be invested in.
Yeah.
Yep.
And that's very important. So it's something for everybody to consider, you know.
It's the same when you're inviting people to the table too, though. I'll have a lot of people ask, and I know you do too, Ron, like, hey, can I do something for Mutant? And if it's not a good fit, I just say no. Because when I do call and say, hey, George, is this something we can do? There's never a question. Like, when I brought Tommy into Mutant, I'm like, we should sign Tommy. He goes, okay.
Right.
That was it.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Didn't ask me about him, like, because I've never sent something that wasn't up to par. You know, so reputation goes a long, long way. And you got to keep that in mind. If you get yourself somewhere, don't just bring your deadbeat homies up with you if they're deadbeat, because that looks bad on you. Like, you know, it's very, very important. I mean, same thing. You know, I got my daughter a job at a gym, and I told her, I'm like, I literally told my friend, I'm like, I want you to be brutal to her because she has to be your best employee because I opened the door. You know what I mean? I told her the same thing. Like, I opened the door. Don't embarrass me. Like, you got to slay this. So it's important that people see all those things. And then when you get in, it's awesome because that's your opportunity. And there's no question we're going to have a great time. Tommy's going to work his face off like we all do. And that'll be that.
Yeah. Hey, on that note of pitching in, I have to say thank you to Hunter, your client, Dusty, who was out at the Arnold. he hung back and he asked me, he was like, hey man, is there anything I can do to help you out? Everybody left the booth and I've got 500 cords that are taped down and mics and headphones, all that stuff. He hung back and he wrapped cords with me for 30 minutes. I mean, it was a huge help. That would have taken me like an hour to do on my own, but to have two people to do it was like, I mean, it didn't take him a ton of time. He probably wasn't doing anything else, you know, but it was a, like a huge, huge help to me. So I wanted to make sure I said thank you to him.
Well, no shock that he has his own business at that age. So we'll leave.
Does he really? What is he? No kidding. What is he doing?
Yeah, he's got his own thing. He just barely started. I don't know the name or anything. Or I had to promote it a little more, but more important than what was just, he had an opportunity. He worked for someone and then it became an opportunity that he could like take it over. I'm not going to tell the story just because he gets in trouble, but because I don't know how the other owner went out, I guess is a better way of putting it.
Understood.
But he took an opportunity, you know, what could have just been like, oh, I lost my job, and turned it into an opportunity. And I've got a few clients that are like hustlers like that. And you can always tell because they mention it like in passing. You're like, that's a hell of a move right there. Like that's an opportunity that most people didn't even see. And he's going to cash in on it big time. So it doesn't shock me at all that he would do that because, you know, he's a young, I mean, I don't know how old he is, but early 20s guy.
Yeah.
And well ahead of the curve.
It doesn't surprise me at all hearing all that just based off of the interactions I had with him. That's really cool. And thank you, Hunter. Yeah. I appreciate it, man.
Yeah. Awesome. So is that it?
That is
That's
it.
That's the show. Okay. Thanks, everybody. Remember, IamMutant.com. Go to iamutant.com, get your all in, get your ISO surge, and everyone should get on the gear. We love it. And of course, we have to remind everyone, in the U.S., you can now get Mind FK.
FK. There we go.
FK.
I love it.
Yeah.
FK. You can you can use the words. Spell that out yourself.
Have you guys tried it yet?
Wow.
Yes. Yes.
I've got a sample of it still. I haven't tried it yet. Do you full scoop, Dusty?
Yes.
I thought it was. Yeah. I thought it was awesome. I used it all three mornings at the expo, but the last morning I had a full serving and I thought, and I made it also, I made a conscious effort to not have nearly as much coffee with my breakfast.
Yeah.
Because I wanted to feel it and I loved it. And I'm trying to scam some from the warehouse because we can't sell it in Canada right now.
Oh.
Because it's got an ingredient in it that hasn't been approved. So it's in the US only. But
I love nootropics.
I think I can get my hands on it. So I'm happy. But I love it. No, but yes,
I had the same thing, but reverse, Ron, was when we went down that morning, we just stopped by. They were just sampling out full servings, like mixed, like it was on tap.
Yeah.
So I took a serving and I took a sip and it was the peach one. I was like, oh, this is good. So I just drank it on the way in. I was holding my Monster that I drink every morning and I got to the booth and I was like, I don't need this.
Oh,
so I just put my Monster in the bag. Now, minding guys, it's not a stimulant. So it's not because of that. I just felt very alert and I was like, oh,
yeah. Yeah.
I don't need the Monster, so I just put it down. Yeah. And now I've been it's actually been my pre-workout every day since, because I may or may not have commandeered a couple bottles at the booth, which you should have done, rookie.
I should have asked for one too. I love nootropics.
Yeah. But now I'm not that experienced. I have four more bottles on the way, so I'm stoked. Right.
Nice. The only nootropics, I've taken in the last 10 years were for a Smashing Pumpkins concert. So
that was something different.
That's his other podcast. We'll talk about that there.
I had my levels kind of messed up. It wasn't quite what I was looking for. But yeah, that's where we're at. And remember, everybody, like, share, subscribe, comment,
and ring the bell.
There we go. One more thing, Dusty. Have you checked your Bitcoin today?
Ah, yeah, I've been checking it pretty regularly, to be honest.
Doing pretty good right now. I try not to look. I just leave it.
Eh. I'm just saying.
Your feelings aren't hurt, and if you're connected to anything else as well, they'll be along for the ride shortly.
Well, I'm just saying that I feel pretty smart right now for having a auto buy turned on for the last 3 years.
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah. I've been buying $100 a week for 3 years.
Nice.
On top of what I had. So
yeah,
I did great through that whole slump. And now we're getting a little bit of a ride here. So let's see what happens.
It's supposed to ride quite a bit, Ron.
I also did something really smart. And about a month ago, I dumped a big chunk in because I was doing my RSPs for taxes and I was kind of moving some investment. I was, you know, after taxes, doing my thing for taxes. And I had this little chunk and I thought, fine, throw it in.
Yeah.
And now
that felt good.
So that felt good. Felt good. Yes. Yeah. Okay. Have a good one, everybody. Remember that it's just bodybuilding.
The greatest accent of all time.